Thanks, Alan. Thank you, Jenny. So we're in this series, Jesus Changes Everything, this morning. And, this changes everything. Obviously, the Easter weekend that we're in, but obviously Jesus changes everything here today. And this is a crossover Australia series that we raise money for on Good Friday, just so you are all aware. And hopefully it's a blessing to you here today. Let me pray for us as we come to this passage now. Well, Lord God Almighty, again, we just want to come and honour your name. We've done a lot of praying in our service today, but praying ultimately draws us closer to you. It acknowledges your presence. And Lord, as we come to dive into and understand more of what prayer is in the coming weeks, Lord, I just pray again that you'll continue to do a mighty work in us as a church, that you'd help us discover what it means to be a follower and disciple of you. And that is my prayer for us here today, that in light of the resurrection, in light of what you've achieved for us, Lord, on the cross, and through your life, your ministry, I pray that you would help us understand more of what it means to be a follower of you here today and what it means to put our faith in the reality of the cross and your resurrection. So Lord, be with us, anoint my words, anoint what I've prepared here today, and may it speak to us where we're at in life, each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, happy Easter once again, and I guess our prayer today is that as you hang out with friends or family, whatever you have planned, that it's a great day, a blessed day, and again, hopefully you've been encouraged by your time with us here this morning. I really appreciate you spending your time with us today. But today is a day of celebration, amen? Today is, as Alan portrayed, that's hallelujah. We want to get it out there because today is a great day of celebration. And we celebrate because he is risen. Amen. He is risen indeed. And that is great news. Great news as we're looking at here today. News that ultimately changes everything. And it's the reality that has changed people's lives all around the world over hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years. People's lives have been changed and transformed by the reality that we are focusing on this weekend, the cross, and today, the resurrection. And one of those people whose lives were changed was a man by the name of Lee Strobel. Has anyone heard of Lee Strobel here before? A few of us, which is good to see. So this man was a journalist. He was a successful journalist for the Chicago Tribune in Chicago, the United States. And he also studied law. So he was a very successful, very, very intelligent man. And one day in 1980, he had a significant crisis in his life. The crisis? Well, Lee was an atheist. He did not believe in God one bit. And his wife, Leslie, actually started going to church and became a Christian. So for him, an atheist did not believe in God. He felt like she was joining a cult. This was a big deal for him. And here's a picture of Leslie and Lee on the screen. This is recently, obviously. But we're back in 1980, and Leslie started going to church with a friend who invited her along. And Lee, who had no belief in God, believed again that she had fallen victim to a cult. And so with his experience and with his role as a journalist with the Chicago Tribune, he decided that he was going to set out on a venture to disprove the resurrection of Jesus and disprove the reality of the Christian faith. In his mind, he was saving and rescuing his wife from this cult, but also rescuing his marriage. And so he went on this venture of challenging experts in many fields and asking questions about Jesus and the Christian faith. Again, trying to disprove the existence of Jesus and the reality of the resurrection. But the more questions he asked, the more reading he did, the more he researched, all the evidence pointed to one reality and one reality alone, that Jesus did exist and that he truly was resurrected from the grave. And after fighting for so long to disprove this faith, Lee Strobel committed himself to the Lord Jesus Christ on the 2nd of November 1981 in his living room. This is an incredible story, amen? A man, an atheist who set out to disprove the existence of God actually came to the realization that he exists and that he truly did rise from the dead. His life and his story is encapsulated in the movie The Case for Christ, which is based on the book that he wrote after becoming a Christian of the same name. And he's a best-selling author who's sold millions of books all around the world on this book, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, The Case for the Real Jesus, which was a book that spoke to me at a young age. But here's a clip from the movie The Case for Christ that shows and depicts him trying to disprove the existence of Jesus. Thanks, Lance.
One of my heroes was C.S. Lewis, a man who began as a skeptic, much like yourself. At the end of his journey, you know what he said? He said, if Christianity is false, it's of zero importance. But if it's true, there's nothing more important in the entire universe. So you want your wife back? Well, hey, guess what? People in hell want ice water. Not everybody gets everything they want. Stop blaming me and the church and God. And do your job. Stack up the evidence, follow the facts, and write the story, win or lose.
An incredible movie, an incredible story. And that was the point where he was starting to believe that this was real, that Jesus did exist. This is a man whose life was dramatically turned upside down and ultimately changed forever. In an interview done with Hope 103.2 a few years back, the interviewer asked Lee what kind of man he was before he became a Christian. This is what he said: I was a narcissist. I was a hedonist. I was a heavy drinker. I was self-absorbed, self-destructive in many ways. I was an atheist. I was successful in my career. I was a legal editor of the Chicago Tribune newspaper, which is our biggest newspaper between two coasts. But after he gave his life to the Lord, in the same interview, he said, over time, I was baptized. I became part of a vibrant church. I learned to read the Bible with fresh eyes. I learned to worship. As I learned to pray, my values began to change. My character, my morality, my attitude, my philosophy, my priorities, my relationships, and my marriage. I mean, all these things over time began to change for the good as God answered that prayer that Leslie prayed faithfully all those years ago. This is a testament to the answer of prayer too, amen. Because as you can imagine, Leslie, his wife, was praying earnestly for him to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and to accept Jesus into his life. And that's exactly what transpired. That's exactly what took place. And that all came about because of the reality of what we are celebrating here today. Amen. This became a possibility for Leslie, for Lee, for billions of people across the globe because the Lord Jesus Christ did not stay in the grave, but rose again on the very first Easter Sunday. So the question before us all today, I believe, is whether you believe this to be true or not. We have two scenarios, don't we? Two options in life. Is this reality true or not? Because if it is true, it truly does change everything. The Bible teaches us that the resurrection of Jesus is the very epicenter of human history, the one event that shines an incredible light over absolutely everything and puts everything into perspective. Or it is nothing. Or it is a lie, a myth, a legend, as Lee Strobel tried to investigate and prove. It cannot be both. For the Apostle Paul, the person who wrote the majority of the New Testament, the person who wrote the passage that Jenny read out to us, his life was also dramatically transformed by this reality. He was a man who once persecuted Christians, who believed that his faith, the Jewish faith, was the one true faith and that this sect or cult of Jesus' followers had nothing to do with his faith. And so he set out to disprove, he set out to persecute and to kill anyone who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he himself had a dramatic experience of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And his life was dramatically transformed as well. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he starts again by saying, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance." This is a priority. Listen to what I have to say. Jesus is the Christ, or the Messiah, who died, was buried, and was raised to life again. That is the essence of that passage that Jenny read out to us, isn't it? And he goes on to say, as I have just said, that this is everything or it is nothing. It is everything for us here today or it is nothing. And if it did happen, then he, or if it didn't happen, sorry, then he and the other apostles are simply liars. His whole message is false. Faith in Jesus is futile. And those who have lived their lives for Jesus and died, they are ultimately lost. It is everything or it is nothing. And in that passage, he goes on to say a bit later on that if the dead are not raised, ultimately, if there's no resurrection, if Jesus did not rise again from the grave and we will not rise again from the grave, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Ultimately, what he's saying here, that is that if there is no resurrection, if this is false, if this is nothing, then this is all we have to live for. So go party. Do whatever you like. Do whatever pleases you, because tomorrow we die. Make the most of this life while we have it. But if it is true, then again, that changes everything. And that is what I believe we see right across our society, don't we? Right across our community, our world, our friends, our neighbors, our family members, those who don't acknowledge this reality or accept it for themselves, this is their reality. So they just do whatever pleases them, don't they? There is no resurrection in their hearts and minds. And so I'll live a life that pleases me. They choose to live life however they like. But if there is the resurrection, if Jesus truly did die and then rise again from the dead, then again, that changes everything. Amen? Amen? And friends, I'm here to tell you today, as someone who has put their faith in that reality, for me, this is true. He did raise again or rise again from the grave. For me, I have experienced the risen Lord Jesus in my life. So have many of you here today who have put their faith in this reality. But how do we know? What evidence is there? Well, let me start by looking at some of the evidence that Lee Strobel himself discovered. Number one, the resurrection actually changed people's lives back then. It changed his disciples' lives. Their lives were changed. And again, I've spoken about the Apostle Paul. And this is what he says in Acts 22:4-5, before he became a follower of Jesus. "I worked hard and killed men and women who believed as I believe today. I put them in chains and sent them to prison. The head religious leader and the leaders of the people can tell you that this is true. I got letters from them to take to our Jewish brothers in the city of Damascus. I was going there to put the Christians in chains and bring them to Jerusalem where they would be beaten." And then he details how on his way to persecute Christians, he had an encounter of the risen Lord Jesus. This is a man who killed people who proclaimed faith in Jesus Christ, who persecuted them, put them in chains, as he said. So something dramatically has to happen in this man's life for his psychology to change in an instant. And he puts that down, that change, to experiencing face-to-face the risen Lord Jesus. The disciples that walked and did life with Jesus, they had this experience as well. Two of the most radical and important examples, I believe, is the Apostle James, Jesus' little brother, and the Apostle Peter. Now, Jesus' brother, as you can imagine, his little brother, when Jesus walked and did life with him, he was a skeptic. He doubted. He did not believe that his own brother was the Messiah, was the Christ, the Jewish Messiah that had been prophesied from thousands of years ago. What the scriptures foretold, he could not wrap his head around that his own brother was this man, this Messiah. He did not believe until he himself experienced his risen brother in the flesh. And if you go read the book of James, which he wrote, you can see a dramatic change that took place in his life, Jesus' little brother James. The Apostle Peter was a timid and some would say cowardly young man, and we can read about his life as well in the Gospels. This fisherman that Jesus recruited to be part of his team, his disciples, that he would teach the ways of the kingdom to. He was a cowardly young man, and some would say said some pretty silly things to Jesus when he walked and did life with him. And he was the one too that was infamously the one to deny Jesus three times when Jesus was being trialed by Pilate. Three times he denied his relationship with Jesus. But he became one of the most courageous and bold leaders in the early church. So how could this man, who was such, in many ways, a coward before this experience, come to be one of the most prominent, courageous people and early church leaders in the history of the church? The resurrection of Christ, the experiencing of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the point that he would ultimately die the same death that his Lord and Savior did. He was crucified, but he did not believe himself worthy to be crucified in the same way as his Lord and Savior. So he chose to be crucified upside down. Now, at some point, if you were one of the ones that hid Jesus' body, if you were telling a lie, at some point when you were hanging upside down on the cross, would you not say, okay, I give up, you've got me. It was all a fabrication, it was all a lie. But no, he and the other disciples died for their faith. Millions of people around the world are dying today because of their faith in Jesus Christ. It's either nothing or it is everything. And so at some point, if you haven't already, we need to answer the question for ourselves. Do I believe that this is something or it is nothing? But if it is something, then it ought to change us from within, amen? It ought to change what we think about, what we say, what we do with our actions and our words. It should dramatically transform the way we live. Because this man, Jesus, has ultimately modeled to us the way that we were meant to live. Not only that, it will dramatically change our hardship, the way we view difficulty, pain, suffering. Jesus came to transform all of that for each and every one of us. The resurrection changed the disciples' lives. Another evidence of the reality of this reality of the resurrection is that it changes our lives. Amen. It changes our lives. It's changed people's lives all across the globe. But it also changes the way we view life as well. Put your hands up here if you have seen the dramatic work of Christ in your life and if you've been transformed. This is evidence of the reality of the resurrection. Amen. And this is just a few people in a globe full of people who have witnessed what Jesus does in here. Lee Strobel, the Apostle Paul, the disciples have all had their lives changed by this incredible reality. Him rising from the dead, Jesus rising from the dead, puts a seal ultimately on everything he said about himself. Amen. Puts a seal on his claim to be the very Son of God, Son of Man, fully God yet fully human, the only one who was worthy enough to go to the cross in our place. Therefore, the resurrection means that God is just like Jesus says he is. And the resurrection means that life is just as Jesus says it ought to be. It also means the way to full and everlasting life is the way that Jesus showed us. But not only did he show us, but he also made a way for us. Amen. He didn't say this is how we are to approach life. He didn't say, do these things and you'll please God. No, he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father. No one can have a relationship with the Father except through me. This is what he said about himself. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. Ultimately, in him saying this, it puts him front and center of our lives. Amen. It puts him number one, not us. And this is how he dramatically changes the course of life for us, changes the understanding of how we ought to view life. Because I would argue that everyone is looking for a great formula for life. I've had many conversations with people, and only today, recently I've been having conversations with people who are on this spiritual journey of understanding life. Yeah, they're trying to ascertain and trying to discover life and meaning and satisfaction and purpose apart from Jesus. And no matter how much I try to bring Jesus into the picture for them, they can't grasp it. Yet they still are trying to pursue an alternative way without Jesus at the center. And for many, the great formula goes like this. If you do A, B, and C, you get X, Y, and Z. If you do A, B, and C, you get X, Y, and Z. And what I mean by that, just go look at our commercials, the ads on TV. If you buy our product, you'll be instantly attractive. You'll lose weight. And from that, you will receive or experience satisfaction and meaning, fulfillment. This is ultimately the basis of religion as well. And I've said this before, I don't believe the Christian faith is a religion. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion says you do this and you'll get that. Say this amount of prayers per day and God will bless you. Sacrifice or pray and he will be pleased with you. It's the basis of all magic tricks as well. If you say the spell correctly or put the right ingredients in the potion, then presto. Bob's your uncle. Here it is. This is the basis of the formula that humanity has operated on for millennia. Amen. But the problem with this is that it's all about us. If I do A, B, and C, I'll get X, Y, and Z. If I worship God, if I try and please him the best I can, if I pray certain amounts a day, that's when God will be pleased with me. But that's not what Easter is all about. Amen. That's not the Christian faith I follow. Because Jesus has ultimately changed the formula when he rose again from the grave. And this is what Easter is all about. It doesn't begin with if you do this. It begins with since Jesus has done this. Paul writes in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. In other words, since God has done this, since Jesus has done this, this is how you ought to live your lives. Another one is John chapter 8, 35 and 36, which says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son or a daughter belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. Or in other words, since Jesus has set you free, you and I, when we put our faith in this reality, have been set free indeed. No longer does life become about us, but about him. Amen. And that's a difference, a radical difference to any other philosophy, any other way of thinking or faith or religion that you will see in this world, because ultimately they have been manufactured by human hearts and human minds. That's the reality of it. And this is why the Christian faith stands on its own, because it's not about what we can do. It's not about what we have achieved. It's about what he has done. Amen. Amen. Believe it. Now, the resurrection of Jesus reveals to us that it is through him and him alone, his life, his death, his resurrection, that we are then blessed and inherit eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But this sometimes becomes an obstacle for those who are wealthy, I believe, or rich, materially speaking, because they've earned their success. They've achieved their success by working so hard. So it's hard for someone who has accumulated all this wealth, and this is why we have a hard work ahead of us in our community, which is a very wealthy community, to help people understand their great need for God. A little child who receives free gifts is better situated to receive faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because they realize that they have nothing to earn it. They realize their great need, that they're dependent upon others. And that's why Jesus said, have child or faith like a child, childlike faith. But whether it's awkward for you or not, this is what is on offer for each and every one of us here today. We can find a place in God's family, in Christ's kingdom, because he really, truly is the living God Almighty. Amen. And he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Bible tells us. And it's through his life, death, and resurrection that he has made a way for us. Because of his love for us, as we spoke about on Friday. This love that ultimately took him to the cross. But then didn't stay there, but rose again from the grave. For me, and I realized this week, I probably would have had realized this at some point. But I believe that this story of Easter, this incredible gospel message of salvation, is built into the fabric of creation. And what I mean by that is that the very essence or the emphasis is on the Son, metaphorically and literally. And I realize this when it comes to the sun. Sunset, which is the sort of theme that we had on Good Friday, it represents Good Friday. It represents what he did for us. And when it goes dark, there's ambiguity. There's a sense of hopelessness, heaviness, pain, confusion. Have you noticed that a lot of bad things happen in the night? But it doesn't stay that long for the whole time, does it? Because morning comes. And what does morning bring? The sunrise. And with the sunrise, it represents a new beginning, a new day, new life, a new hope. So when you see this unfolding in creation, I encourage you to reflect on the Easter story or the story of Jesus. Good Friday, there is despair, there's confusion, there's uncertainty, and there's darkness. But then in the morning, there's new life, amen. New hope. And I encourage you, if you can, try and catch the sunrise tomorrow morning and reflect on this reality of what the resurrection means for you and for I. Lee Strobel says in his book, the resurrection is the supreme vindication of Jesus' divine identity and his inspired teaching. It's the proof of his triumph over sin and death. It's the foreshadowing of the resurrection of his followers. It's the basis of the Christian hope. It's the miracle of all miracles. And so with everything is said and done, and as we come to a finish and close our time together here today, has this incredible reality changed everything for you? For those who have put their faith in this reality, has it changed your view of life? Has it changed the way you live your life? And for those who may not have put their faith in this reality just now, my encouragement to you is to just pursue it as Lee Strobel did. Because you'll see that this reality does truly change everything in a positive and a good way. And there's still a good way to go before he changes and transforms this whole entire world. But God's plan is to renew and to redeem everything on his way. This makes the gospel a very personal gospel. because Jesus is about changing and transforming lives one person at a time. Amen. And with that, changing our hearts and minds and releasing us from the endless treadmill of anxiety, pain, and worry that comes when we don't have Him at the front and center of our lives. God wants you. He wants each and every one of us to be part of His family, to be sons and daughters of Him. Ultimately, He wants to bestow life into our hearts and minds, but realizing that we don't achieve it, we receive it. Amen. The beauty of the gospel, it's a free gift. And so what I want to leave us with here today is that this is true from the bottom of my heart. I would not be up here otherwise if I did not believe it. This is true. It is everything. It is life-changing. Just go ask the Apostle Paul. One day we'll get to. Ask the disciples. Ask Lee Strobel. Ask the billions and billions of people across the world and people in here today that have experienced this life-changing reality in their lives. And if you want to align your life with this truth, with this love, and receive this freedom, then we as a church are here to help you with that. We want to journey with you to help you discover who Jesus truly is. And I'd love to talk with you afterwards if that's you. But this morning, this is God's love for all people. This is His desire for you and I to experience the life, the freedom, the hope, and ultimately everything that the resurrection of Jesus Christ represents here today. Amen. Can I pray for us as the band comes back up? Well, Lord God Almighty, as we reflect on this reality again, my heart's prayer today is that those who have put their faith in this reality would see that this ought to change the direction of our lives. This should ultimately transform our lives, make everything new again. I pray for those who may not have come to the place where they are ready or willing enough to receive this. I pray that you'd be working in their hearts today, ultimately work in all of our hearts, because we need you, Lord God. That is why you came. This is what this day represents. Again, it represents a new way, new life, new hope. So, Father God, as we come to sing this last song here today, may we be reminded of what this weekend represents, what it symbolizes, and ultimately, may you make us new from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.